Listeners, this is Vic once again with Catholic Opinion. I'd like to welcome all our listeners, especially those around the Auckland region. Also, I'd like to welcome my daughter Marianne today, who's come to help me with the program. Today, I'm turning 84, listeners. I've been doing the program now for 16 years, and Marianne and her friend Diane Taylor, they used to have a program called Alive, and they used to get me to fill in sometime. Plus, to the late Gary Menzies. So that's why I started my programs from there. And today I'd like to make a summary of all the things I've done over those years. What I usually do is start with the Our Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. So when I started Catholic Opinion all those years ago, my intention was to bring with the Bible in front of us, to talk about the Bible and talk about the history of the Roman Catholic Church, which is both massive subjects. And what's especially come out of the programs over those years is that Jesus Christ is God. That's amazing stuff, listeners, that God himself, the second person of the Trinity, became a man, and he started a church, and the church was the Roman Catholic Church. And he was foretold in the Old Testament many times. So when he was born, we knew all about him, where he would be born, how he would die, and where he would die, that he would rise from the dead. So that's one of my privileges, is to be able to talk to that over the years about Jesus Christ becoming man. When he became man, he worked hundreds of miracles. So listen, we'll get my daughter Marianne, who's helped me with the reading today, to read from St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to give testimony of the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but was to give testimony of the light. That was the true light which enlighteth every man that cometh into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them power to be made the sons of God, to them that believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we saw his glory, the glory as it were of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John beareth witness of him and crieth out, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that shall come after me is preferred before me, because he was before me.
Thanks very much, Marianne. That's one of the greatest readings of the Bible. It tells us that the Word became flesh, and we received light and life through the Word. God the Father used Jesus Christ to create the universe. It's such beautiful words. So if you know anything, listeners, you know that's because Jesus Christ made you. He gave you life to breathe, and he gave you light to understand, intellect. So we're now the main beliefs of the Catholic Church, what we call the Creed. When our program opened this morning, today, we had in Latin Credo, that beautiful hymn of what the Catholic Church believes. So we'll now read in English, not in Latin, listeners. I don't know how many of you speak Latin. We'll read in English for you just to help you.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks very much. So that's what we call the Apostle Creed. When Jesus died, the apostles got together and they wrote that credo, what we believe. So all those things we believe, that God became man and he was Jesus Christ. He came through a virgin, his mother Mary. So he gave us a visible church so we could see you. And in that church, we've had over 360 popes visibly in Rome, the Bishop of Rome. So you can see that the church is alive, it's there. And there's four signs the church says that it has. Four signs that anybody can tell the Catholic Church is a true church. The Catholic Church is, listeners, one. It's got one belief. We've believed our creed ever since the time of the apostles, and we still have it today. And the church has one leader, Jesus Christ, and one vicar of Jesus Christ, which is the Pope. And we have one belief throughout the world. And the church is holy. Jesus Christ, our founder, was holy. And so we've had many saints who died martyrs, who have been holy men. Mother Teresa, Padre Pio, just recently. And the church is Catholic. That means that the church is for all men, all colours, everybody. And the church is that. When you go to Catholic church, you're stunned by the colour of all the people in the church and different nationalities they come from. When I went to Mass in Harrow in my youth, I remember one day I counted all the nationalities I knew. There were nearly 40 nationalities in the little town of Harrow that were going to communion. And the church also apostolic. It was founded by the apostles who Jesus Christ taught. And they took the faith out to all the countries of the world. And my own country, my parents, which is Dalmatia, in today's reading in church, St. Paul sent his apostle to Dalmatia. So Dalmatia became Catholic at that stage in the middle of the 1st century AD. So the church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic, and universal. It's for every man, everybody. Everybody's welcome in the church. The church belongs to everybody. It's one holy Catholic apostolic church. And we have the creed. And one of the proofs of the church is true, that all the 12 apostles, they were killed. They didn't kill other people. They were killed for their belief. You can imagine an apostle going by himself to India and saying the king of India, who might have had hundreds of wives, look, fella, you'd only have one wife. That's what God says. So the king would say, all for that fellow's head. So listen, all the apostles were killed for the faith. Five of them were crucified, just like Jesus Christ was crucified. Some upside down, and some were shot with arrows at the same time. One was burnt before he was crucified. Crucified and shot with arrows. So pretty rough stuff, listen. Yes, there have been 360 popes all the time since Jesus Christ. We've had a pope. And there have also been many saints and many miracles in the church. Some of the saints have worked hundreds and hundreds of miracles. One of the saints, Ferrer in particular, he brought 32 people back to life on different occasions. So and Jesus Christ himself worked hundreds if not thousands of miracles, curing people. He used to go from village to village, curing every sick person in the village who needed to be cured. And so that's why when he died, he was loved. That's why the church prospered after his death. That he'd been right throughout Israel, curing people, working miracles, bringing people back to life. And one of his great teaching was, when he is in his death, he says, all power, he gave this last will and testament, all power is mine in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, and teach them all the things I command you, and behold, I'm with you all days, even unto the end of the world. So Jesus Christ, God himself, divine wisdom, is with the church to the end of the world. And the church is much loved by many of us who are part of it, greatly loved. And some people also hate it, because in the world there's good and evil. So other people often try and destroy the church. Many people try to destroy the church. So Jesus Christ was one with God and equal with God. And he's also equal with mercy and love. One of the great teachings of the church is the Beatitudes of the church. I'll get Marianne now to read the eight Beatitudes. These are a sign that Jesus says that you are blessed if you do these things, if you want to get to heaven.
1. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Thanks very much, Marianne. Oh, I especially love that number 6. Blessed are the pure of heart, which is very difficult to be pure. And for the pure of heart will see God. All those who want to see God when they die, put their hands up. See, his mind's the highest of those hands. Blessed are the pure. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for these are the kingdom of God. And also in the church, we have the 7 sacraments, great gifts of Jesus Christ, gave to his church. And the first of the sacrament is baptism. You must be baptized to get to God, baptized with water and the Holy Spirit. And also, the great thing we have in the church is that we have confession for our sins. That when we sin, we can go to the priest and have our sins forgiven. I love that sacrament. And what I do every day of my long life, listeners, I've gone to Mass every day of my life, just about, certainly 95% of my time, and received Holy Communion. Holy Communion is when we receive Jesus Christ himself, body and soul. So we believe this in the Catholic Church, that when he said, this is my body, and you must eat my body and drink my blood to be saved. So we go to Communion and to Mass every day if we can. So for 16 years now, listeners, I've run the program, and these last 3 or 4 years I've had 3 strokes and 6 heart attacks. So, and when they're with those, about 7 times I received the last sacraments of the church. And the last sacraments are a great gift of the church. And with that, most people, before they do Catholic, before they die, receive the last sacrament. But it's also a blessing of the 6, besides the last being the last sacrament. So that's, I've received that 7 times, the last sacraments. And my great grandmother, that's Marianne's great great grandmother, she received 8 times in the little village of Podgora in old Yugoslavia. So he said, I would join the church in the harbour where I was baptised. Used to go to Mass all the time. My brother and I used to be altar boys. And in the cold morning at 6:30 Mass, we would bike to church with a man, Eggman, looking magnificent. And we could smell Butchard's bread being baked by old Harold Butchard. So that's why I was brought up as a Catholic in Hara, of Dalmatian extraction. And so, as I said, Dalmatia has been Catholic almost from the very beginning of Christianity, of 2,000 years. And so, as I've spoken over the years, I've spoken about the Orthodox Church, about the persecution of the Church, the heresy of the Church, about the Reformation and Martin Luther. I've spoken about Constantine and many of the great saints. So that's a summary of the thing. Also, I would like Marianne, if possible, to read from Daniel chapter 2, where the great King Nebuchadnezzar had a statue built and had a dream. And Daniel the prophet told him, because he could tell him what the dream was and what it meant. Nobody else could. So we could listen to Maria now reading from the Bible about chapter 2 of the prophet Daniel.
In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and his spirit was terrified, and his dream went out of his mind. Then the king commanded to call together the diviners and the wise men, and the magicians and the Chaldeans, to declare to the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I saw a dream, and being troubled in mind, I know not what I saw. And the Chaldeans answered the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell to thy servants thy dream, and we will declare the interpretation thereof. And the king answering said to the Chaldeans, The thing has gone out of my mind. Unless you tell me the dream and the meaning thereof, you shall be put to death, and your houses shall be confiscated. But if you tell the dream and the meaning of it, you shall receive of me rewards and gifts and great honour. Therefore tell me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will declare the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you seek to gain time, since you know that the thing is gone from me. If therefore you tell me not the dream, there is one sentence concerning you that you have also framed a lying interpretation and full of deceit, to speak before me till the time pass away. Tell me therefore the dream, that I may know that you also give a true interpretation thereof. Then the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is no man upon earth that can accomplish thy word, O king. Neither doth any king, though great and mighty, ask such a thing of any diviner or wise man or Chaldean. For the thing that thou askest, O king, is difficult. Nor can anyone be found that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose conversation is not with men. Upon hearing this, the king in fury and in great wrath commanded that all the wise men of Babylon should be put to death. And the decree being gone forth, the wise men were slain, and Daniel and his companions were sought for to be put to death. Then Daniel inquired concerning the law and the sentence of Arioch, the general of the king's army, who was gone forth to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he asked him that had received the orders of the king why so cruel a sentence was gone forth from the face of the king. And when Arioch had told the matter to Daniel, Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time to resolve the question and declare it to the king. And he went into his house and told the matter to Ananias and Misael and Azarias, his companions, to the end that they should ask mercy at the face of the God of heaven concerning the secret, and that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the mystery revealed to Daniel by a vision in the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And speaking he said, Blessed be the name of the Lord from eternity and forevermore, for wisdom and fortitude are his. And he changeth times and ages, taketh away kingdoms and establisheth them, giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that have understanding. He revealeth deep and hidden things, and knoweth what is in darkness, and light is with him. To thee, O God of our fathers, I give thanks and I praise thee, because thou hast given me wisdom and strength, and now thou hast shown me what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known to us the king's discourse. After this, Daniel went into Arioch, to whom the king had given orders to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and he spoke thus to him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will tell the solution to the king. Then Arioch in haste brought in Daniel to the king and said to him, I have found a man of the children of the captivity of Judah that will resolve the question to the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Thinkest thou indeed that thou canst tell me the dream that I saw and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel made answer before the king and said, The secret that the king desires to know, none of the wise men or the philosophers or the diviners or the soothsayers can declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth mysteries, who hath shown to thee, O King Nebuchadnezzar, what is to come to pass in the latter times. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Thou, O king, dost begin to think in thy bed what should come to pass hereafter, and he revealeth mysteries, showed thee what shall come to pass. To me also this secret is revealed, not by any wisdom that I have more than all men alive, but that the interpretation might be made manifest to the king, and thou mightest know the thoughts of thy mind. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, there was as it were a great statue. This statue, which was great and high, tall of stature, stood before thee, and the look thereof was terrible. The head of the statue was of fine gold, but the breast and the arms of silver, and the belly and the thighs of brass, and the legs of iron, the feet part of iron and part of clay. Thus thou sawest till a stone was cut out of a mountain without hands, and it struck the statue upon the feet thereof that were of iron and of clay, and broke them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of a summer's threshing floor. And they were carried away by the wind, and there was no place found for them. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. We will also tell the interpretation thereof before thee, O king. Thou art a king of kings, and the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom and strength and power and glory. And all places wherein the children of men and the beasts of the field do dwell. He hath also given the birds of the air into thy hand and hath put all things under thy power. Thou therefore art the head of gold. And after thee shall rise up another kingdom, inferior to thee, of silver, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall rule over all the world. And the fourth kingdom shall be as iron breaketh into pieces and subdueth all things, so shall that break and destroy all these. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But yet it shall take its origin from the iron, according as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall be mingled indeed together with the seed of man, but they shall not stick fast one to another, as iron cannot be mixed with clay. But in the days of those kingdoms, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and his kingdom shall not be delivered up to another people. And it shall break in pieces and shall consume all these kingdoms, and itself shall stand forever. According as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands and broken pieces, the clay and the iron and the brass and the silver and the gold, the great God has shown the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is true and the interpretation thereof is faithful.
Thanks very much, Marianne. Well read, dear. And so that was Daniel from the Old Testament. And now, listen, what do you think is that stone that comes out of the mountain without human hands? And it crushes all the empires of the world in the future. Well, what can it be? Where is it now then? It must be here now with us, because we're in time, and in time all the empires of the world are destroyed. Listen, it's a bit obvious you think about it. The stone that comes out of the mountain is the Roman Catholic Church. It's been there from the beginning, and it's still there now. And it's seen all the empire of Rome and all these other empires pass away. And it's seen that great one now, of atheists and communism being destroyed as well. Atheism is trying to rule the world. They're saying there's no God. But there is a God, listeners. And there's an organisation which he formed in the church for good, to do away with abortion and all these other things that are wrong, and to strengthen marriage so we can't kill children or old people. So that's important to me, listeners. So in the Bible, the church tells us that in the Bible there is no error, but not everybody can allow to interpret. Only the church has the authority to interpret the Bible and tell us what it means. So you should try and read the Old Testament and the New Testament, listeners, and try and read both those reads today, chapter 2 of Daniel and chapter 1 of St. John's Gospel. So So that's the summary of my talks over these 16 years. Listen, I hope some of you people have heard some of them, and I'm trying to do my best because of what I learned from my mother when I was a child. I was a bit reluctant to go to church when I was young, but my mother took me to church like a good mother. She teaches us, just like she wanted me to learn the piano the same way, and I was reluctant to learn the piano. I wanted to play football, but she bribed me. So she got me. She said if I practiced the piano, I wouldn't have to do the dishes at night. That appealed to me because I hate the piano, but I hate the dish more than I hate the piano. So mothers are valuable listeners. So what I learned from my mother is what I talk a lot about in this program, that there is one God, and that God himself became man through a woman, his mother Mary. He became God and man, and he's king of all nations, king of everything. And in God there are three persons. There's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are one, just one God. There's not three gods, just one God. And the one who's especially dear to us is Jesus Christ, is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who became man. And he formed a church under the 12 apostles. And so the leader of the apostles was Peter, who became the Bishop of Rome. And after him have come 360 other bishops of Rome, which we call the popes. They are visible sign to the whole world to see that there's a one church. And this and that church, you can tie it together. That's the rock that came out of the mountain and crashed to all the kingdoms of the world. The German kingdom, the Saxon kingdoms, Britain kingdoms, all the empires, great empires. So listen, it's easy to become a Catholic. Just read a little bit. And to become a Catholic, you have to be baptized and believe all the truths that the Catholic Church teaches us. And the great gift that Jesus Christ gave us, the Last Supper, was his own body and blood to eat and drink. And so with the, we have Holy Communion and confession and all the sacraments. So it's an easy way to get, it's easy to get to heaven when you're Catholic. Just do as you're told. Take the sacraments, try and follow Beatitudes, and keep the Ten Commandments given to the Jews through Moses from God himself on Mount Sinai. So the Catholic Church is descended from the Jewish Church. And the Jewish Church is not very proud of the Catholic Church. They say, not from us. But yes, Jesus Christ was a Jew, and from the Jews the prophecies came. Like I just read the prophecies of Daniel today. There are many prophecies in the Old Testament talk about the future and the future of the Church. The first go out to the Gentile, all the nations of the world. Yes, the Church came out to New Zealand. Last Sunday I went to Mass, and the Church was jammed. And most mornings I go to Mass, and there's quite a few, a lot of people every morning in church. So all throughout New Zealand, there's churches full of people every day going to Mass. Every Sunday, the church is jammed with all kinds of people, Chinese people, Indian people, Vietnamese people, English people, all the nations of the world listen. That's us. The church is universal for everybody. And all churches always teach the same thing. It teaches the truth. You're safe with what the Pope teaches us. That's the truth. So that, listen, is the reason that we have the this program every Friday afternoon that you're listening to now. And so welcome. Thanks very much for listening, listeners. Hope to speak to you next week. God bless you. Good afternoon.